I could identify what he's talking about. When we're down here looking up, it don't look so good. But if you get up there looking down, it looks a whole lot better. Thank God if you can get yourself lifted up above the shadows and get your feet planted on that solid ground, things go to looking different. Amen. I appreciate them being with us tonight. It's come time for our first message. I appreciate Dr. Mike Bagwell, who has preached to us this week concerning the parables. And I am looking forward to what he has to say tonight and whatever parable the Lord has put in his heart. So I want you to hear him gladly as he comes to preach to us the word of the Lord. Amen. He preached out of his shoes last night. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher.
I love you. Love appreciate you, sir.
We have not been to the Gospel of Mark this week. We've been to Luke and Matthew. So let's take a trip to Mark 4. Mark chapter 4 in the Scriptures, if you will. Another parable from the lips of our Lord. I appreciate those of you, good many of you, have read Matthew 13 twice and picked up the little parable book. I wrote a page of sort of introduction to those 21 parables. Each parable I preached has come from one of those 21 the Lord had laid on my heart earlier, a couple weeks ago. And it's not too late. You can still get your... If I get boring, if your mind begins to drift, open your Bible to Matthew 13. Forget Mark 4. Read it twice. Love to give you one of those booklets. Mark 4, just some short verses, 26 through 29. It is a parable. Mark 4, 26 through 29. And he said, it's our Lord, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed. Get that. Cast seed into the ground. Sowed the seed. And he should sleep. Well, Steve, he sowed the seed and went to bed. He should sleep and rise. He got up the next morning. Says, and rise night and day. And I can't believe it. Look at 27. The seed should spring and grow up. And the farmer, he knoweth not how. He hadn't figured it out yet. Hope I'll get an amen here. He just knows it works. Put that stuff out if it's good ground, and that's assumed here, something's coming up. He knoweth not how. Oh, 28, a little more information. For the earth bringeth forth of herself. Got to get the seed in the heart of the earth into that warm, broken up soil. And the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Watch. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Oh, I'm giving it away. I can't wait. I just can't wait. The earth bringeth forth seed of herself. It is the Greek word automate. It is our word automatic. Automatically. I've knocked it loose. I'm sorry.
We'll get straight.
Thank you. I don't think you heard me. The earth... If that seed's good seed, the earth bringeth forth fruit automatically. Nothing I can do, nothing my neighbor can do. If the seed is right, something is coming out of the ground automatically. Of herself. And then the last verse, 29, when the fruit is brought forth, it's ripe. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately we're back to the farmer. We're back to the sower. He putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. Y'all watch. At the first of this parable, there's something a human being can do. He can get out there and break up the fallow ground. He can lay off and he can sow the seed. At the last of this parable, there's something he can do. He can sharpen his sickle, put it out there, and bring in the sheaves. But in the middle, excuse my bad grammar, they ain't nothing he can do. He just well sleep and get up and lay down and rest. The rest of that seed germinating, it is up to a higher power. So up to an almighty God. It is called the parable of the seed and its growth, or sometimes called the parable of the secret growth of the seed. And that's what's on my heart tonight. And for a little while, I want to try to preach it to everybody that's here and to you, dear men of God, particularly to you. I'd like to address these words. Go back to verse 26. And Jesus said. And he said. The word that is used there for said, the verb for said, it's lego. And Jesus legoed. I'm putting it into English. What in the world does that mean? Lego is a word that means to speak with forethought. In fact, the word lego, the verb lego, gives us our English word, listen to it, logic. L-E-G-O, L-O-G-I-C, logic. This saying that's being painted for us, this beautiful picture, it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't something just off the cuff. God Almighty, His Son Jesus, had thought this thing through from one end to the other. I'm going to make a pronouncement. It is one beautiful story I've read. He said it. He said, and the tense of this verb said, it is called a perfect tense verb. I want to show you this. Would you hold my Bible just a minute? It means something that happened in the past. It's done. The work is finished. Now, if that's all it meant, it would be aorist tense. But that's not it. It's perfect tense. What does that mean? Something he said 2,000 years ago. He's not going to say it again. It's written down in the Word of God. But perfect tense says he said it. It's finished. But it's still talking to us today. Paul read those words and it talked to him. John on Patmos read those words and they talked to him. Here we are 2,000 years later reading these words and hallelujah, they're going to talk to us tonight. I suggest to you that's the nature of the precious word of an almighty God. Forever it is settled in heaven. It is divinely inspired. It is inerrant. It contains not one mistake. Hallelujah. It's the eternal Word of God. So he said unto them, we're still in verse 26, so is the kingdom of God. I don't want to get bogged down here. If this had been Matthew, he would have called it the kingdom of heaven. It's Mark. He opts for the kingdom of God. I'm not going to get into the dispensational aspect of this or quote Dr. Schofield or John. I'm just going to say tonight in our little classroom here, the kingdom of God, that's worldwide. That's every man, woman, boy, or girl that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You looking at an old boy that's glad to be in the kingdom tonight. Hallelujah. Didn't deserve it, not worthy, but hallelujah, he saved me by his marvelous grace. Amen. We're going to get a lesson about the kingdom of God. Now, I do believe in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven, get this, is the professing church. The professing church. You're not getting that. Let me explain. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. The professing church. They think they got it. They say they got it. They hope they got it. But all of them don't have it, ladies and gentlemen. But I believe when the word, the kingdom of God, I believe those are genuinely saved people. I believe they're people who've been, as I said, washed in the blood of the kingdom of God is like. Or to be more specific, the kingdom of God as if. Amen. This is a simile. It's a parable, but it's a figure of speech called a simile. A simile is a comparison that is always introduced with the words like or as. The kingdom of God is as if a man sows his seed. We're fixing to learn some things about the born again family of an almighty God tonight. Will y'all follow me while I try to develop this? So it's the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The hero of this parable is not the sower. The hero of this parable is not the reaper. The hero of this parable, I guess I'm going to have to personalize, the hero here is the seed. That seed that gets in that ground, that seed that miraculously germinates, that seed that's going to bring forth fruit, that seed's the word of God. I want to say something tonight. Thank God for the seed. What's he doing, Brother Bagwell? He's casting seed into the ground. That word cast, it's balo. Balo, I love these shavings. I illustrate with them every year. Here we go. They don't lay off their gardens and their farms in rows. They throw it. They broadcast the seed. Let's put it everywhere. And by the way, Mark chapter 4 starts out with the story about the seed. Sower went forth to sow. Good ground, stony ground. It ends up with a parable about the seed. A seed, a mustard seed, grew to be a big tree. Some old birds came and this thing's got three seed stories in it. The first one says everything that lands ain't going to be good. Some of it will die before. And the last one says it'll be a big tree and the stinking filthy birds of the devil will come and lodge in it. And buddy, we got some birds lodging in our trees tonight. If you want to know, but in the middle, there's a seed story. Ain't no birds hanging around. There's no rocky ground anywhere. I'm fixing to preach to you, get me an amen, about the real thing. Hallelujah. Amen. He went out sowing the seed. You say, well, I wonder if that boy's got a degree in agriculture. Have no idea. I wonder how many years experience he's had. No idea. The expertise is not in his degree. It's not in how many years. It's in the power. It's in the power. It's in the power of that seed. Hallelujah. How can a little old ignoramus like me go somewhere next week? I'm preaching not 10 miles from the house. How can I go in that little church, sow the seed, and God begin to work? I'll tell you what, I got enough sense to know I don't have nothing to do with it. The power is in the seed, I say again. I'm just sowing it. Thank God when I sow it, God's going to have some good ground out there ready to receive. Are y'all okay? All right, now we got to get to our next verse. So much that I need to say. You cast his seed into the... In fact, I probably shouldn't go into this. The Greek does not have ice deep down in the ground. It has epi on the ground. Oh my. I hadn't seen this till this very second. This is not a
very adhering mic, I'll tell you. The text says, can y'all hear me? The text says he cast the seed upon the ground. Not deep down in it, ice. Up on the ground. Epi. And you'd say, there ain't no seed gonna ever bear if all that fella did was cast it on the ground. He ought to have enough sense, put it a little bit under the soil. He cast it
on the ground. I want to say something. Not a smart farmer, so I reckon we're dealing with some pretty smart seed. Hallelujah to God. Boy, I'm glad when I sow it the wrong way. I'm glad when I sow it in a very awkward way. I'm glad it's not me. I'm glad it's the seed. I'm glad it's the seed. Oh, the power of the seed of the word of an almighty God. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Poor fella, he don't know, he's just casting it out on the ground, but he's fixing to get a bumper. He's fixing to get a bumper harvest. Hallelujah for that seed. I read this, and I've read it twice. I believe it's verifiable. But found some seeds in one of those Egyptian pyramids, thousands of years old. They sowed those seeds experimentally just to see what happened. Fixing to tell you what happened to 5,000-year-old seed. I'd put it in three words. I'll get some amens. It come up. It come up. Are y'all with me tonight? You say, I preached to that boy 10 years ago. It's 20 years since he last heard. Oh, I got some good news. That seed lodged in that heart. Glory to God, it can still come up. It can still come up. It can come out of that ground. Hallelujah. Do you all believe that? Oh, the power of the word of an almighty God. I don't want any accolades tonight. I don't want any praise tonight. That moderator, glory for the word. Glory for the book. Glory for the seed. Hallelujah to his good name. Amen, son. Bless his name. There are people who'd find fault what I'm saying right here and now. I had a man accuse me one day. He called me a bibliolater. That means a Bible worshiper. I don't worship the Bible, but if God exalted his word above his name, buddy, I'm going to do some exalting too. Hallelujah. That fella insinuated I made too much of the word of God. Let me go on record tonight. You heard it at Taylorsville on Friday evening. You can't make too much of the word of God. Well, we need to look a little further. Cast the seed into the ground. Oh yeah. Verse 20 of him. I just can't believe this. And he should sleep and rise night and day. This boy sowed the seed and went to bed. Sowed the seed. Didn't worry a lot about it. Now, I'm sure he's concerned about rain. I'm sure he's concerned about anything that would rip up the patch and steal the seed. But he is going to sleep. Why is he going to sleep? I need a little help here. Because it's out of his hands. He's done all he can do. He's preached to the best of his ability. Now somebody bigger, something more mighty has got to kick in and take over. I'm telling you, thank God for the word energized by the Holy Ghost himself. He's gone to bed. Says he rises up night and day. We'd never say that. We'd say he gets up day and night. Night and day. That's because this is a Jewish parable. That's because God started the days, the evening and the morning. I'm going to tell you, Arthur Pink wrote a book called this. No, he alluded to a book in one of the Gleaning series called this. Undesigned Coincidences in the Word of God. That's a mouthful. Undesigned coincidences. And here's what it says. Says the Word of God proves itself to be the Word of God, not only because it claims to be the Word of God, because of the little indicators, thousands of them hidden throughout the book, that it is the Word of God. And right here's one of them. You let some smart aleck upstart write that, he'd say he slept day and night. Our lives are day and night. Oh, no. Holy Ghost said that's not the way it is. It's night and day. And by the way, let me preach there about 60 seconds. I'm glad it's that way with God. Night and day, night and day. That means the darkness comes first. Then comes the morning. Hallelujah. Oh, let me preach that another way. Weeping may endure for a night, but boy, have I got some good news. Joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah to His name. Oh, yeah, he slept all right. Oh, look at the middle of verse 27. Oh, yeah. And the seed should spring. The seed should spring. Takes it a little while. I guess that's just another few nights' sleep. Amen. God showed Joseph a whole lot when he was asleep. I guess you could say God done a lot for Joseph while he was asleep. So when I read that, sometimes I want to go get in the bed and go to sleep. God can work when I'm asleep. Sometimes if I'll get my grimy hands off a situation, if I'll quit trying to pick green fruit, if I'll quit trying in human effort to do something, God will give the increase. Hallelujah. He'll do it. Still in that 27th verse, he's sleeping on the seed should spring. I got to talk about that verb. The seed should spring. It's the blastus word in Greek. What does it mean? See if you get it. If you don't, I'll try it a different way. It means that little seed's in the ground. You know it's got to die. Except the corn of wheat on in the ground. It died. It rotted. It's absolutely useless in the life of man. But I'll tell you something about God, and he didn't just do it with seeds. He did it with his darling son. He's got a way of taking dead things. He's got a way of taking dead things and making them alive again. Do y'all believe that? In fact, I'm a pretty good illustration. I was dead in my trespasses and in my sins. He touched me. He quickened me. Hallelujah. He gave me life in His. Y'all okay? I can't get that seed to spring. What does blastus mean? There it is in the ground. You're right. It means all of a sudden one day that seed, now help me. Boom!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Now I ain't gonna boom, but one more time. Boom! It pops up out of the ground. Brother Bagwell, you're not saying you believe there's enough power in the seed that it'll germinate and it'll pop up out of the ground. Oh, honey, there's power in that seed we don't know anything about yet. Hey! I believe Jesus blasted out of the ground one day myself. I believe one of these days the trumpet of God's going to sound. The voice of the archangel's going to be heard. We're going to blast out of here ourselves. That'll be any blast ICBMs. That'll be any blast NASA's ever thought about. Hallelujah. It sprang. But wait a minute. That's not all it did in verse 27, it sprang and grow up. The bottom line, to save some time, it's the word megas. It sprang up
it blasted out of the ground. Just a little bitty thing right there. And then it, smile if you get it, it got big. Smegger, it got big. I don't know, I don't think I'm getting out of cough. It is a dead seed. It is rotten, stinking, and a miracle occurred, and it busted out of the ground, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's going to bear fruit for this season. It's a parable of spiritual growth. And so, well, Brother Bagwell, it's my job to make them bigger. I've got the table spread. Hey, it's not our job. We can pray. We can ask God for His grace in it. But God's the one that gave them birth. I don't know if I'll get it. And God's the one that can make them bigger. Hallelujah. Well, back to verse 27. Spring Lord, He knoweth not how. Mark that little verb. He does not see. He does not understand how in the world this happens. Brother Mark, I've been preaching 55 years. I hadn't seen nearly as many people saved as a lot of the men of God, probably most of the men of God, but I have seen some. And I'm going to explain to you something right now. I hope somebody will agree with me. I still don't understand it. It's beyond me. It is absolutely past comprehension. I'm thinking of a boy right now. He rode a motorcycle gang. He is in the he was rough as he could be. First Sunday he come to church. He's about a little over 6 feet tall. He was huge, not just heavy, well built. God got a hold of him that Sunday morning. When he got up out of that second pew on the left, I heard the bench crack. I heard the bench crack. It made that noise. He hit that altar. He is squalling from one end to the other. He boo-hooed his way into the presence of God. And I'll agree with you, he probably got saved about the second step down the aisle. Wouldn't be a bit surprised about it. God gloriously saved his soul. I'll tell you what, he became the best Bible student I believe I've ever known. I want you to hear me. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. I'm going to attribute it to the power of the Word of God. Amen. 28. For the earth bringeth forth. For the earth bringeth forth. And oh, there's so many beautiful words here. The earth bringeth forth of herself, bringeth forth fruit. Bringeth forth fruit. It uses the verb pharaoh and the word karpos. Oh, well, Steve, watch this. It imagines the earth scooping up fruit. Karpos pharaoh means carrying that fruit somewhere, toting it somewhere. Took that fruit and it's heading towards somebody as if it wants to lay it down at the feet of Brother Larry of somebody great, somebody big. Do you know what this parable, and it may be poetic here, it's indicating the earth. Does anybody believe God created the earth? Does anybody believe Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth? It's like that earth said, mankind may not worship God, but I know who did this. I know who gets the credit. I know who makes this seed. I'm taking it to Him. I'm glorifying Him. I'm going to magnify His name. Jesus gets the glory for every seed that ever germinates and brings fruit to His name. I won't have time to probably finish up each of the thoughts, but I do want to say this, and I suppose I would be unto of herself, automatically. Automatically. Car we drive's got, everyone does now, I guess, automatic transmission. All I got to do is put it in something they call D. Drive. It does everything else. Don't have to shift a second. I don't even know if there's a third. But if there is, it gets it. And it does automatically. I got some good news. Preachers, you put the seed in the ground. You have respect for the seed. You trust the power of the word of an almighty God. And when you put that seed in the ground, listen to me, something, hope I get an amen, automatic is about to happen. It means done. Done of oneself. Not of the preacher. Not of the sinner. Of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. And I'll not take the time to talk about the ear, the blade, the ear, and the full ear. And I'll not talk about the harvest. But I will say this. In fact, here's where I want to be. It's an appeal tonight to every man of God in this house. Quit trusting your personality. Get over that idea that you're a good socializer and a wonderful mixer. Throw that word politics in the church out of your vocabulary. Forget about trying to straddle the fence. Forget about trying to please the biggest giver or the oldest member. Get in this book. Open it to where the Holy Ghost leads you. Immerse yourself in the seed. Meditate in God's word day and night. And sow that seed. Put that seed up there on that ground. Let God Almighty do the rest. And I promise you, something automatically, something's going to happen. Glory to His name. The power of the seed of the word of an almighty God. I get asked this almost every week. Brother Bagwell, and I'm 70 years old now. Brother Bagwell, if you could give one piece of advice to a young preacher, what would it be? For years and years, my answer has not wavered. Here it is. I'll need some amens. Make much of the word of God in your ministry. Meditate in it day and night. Love it, honor it, cherish it. I just read a minute ago where Isaiah says, I tremble in the presence of the word of God. Oh, God honors it. God considers it holy. Mine still says Holy Bible. How about yours? Oh, to lift it up. Oh, to magnify it. Oh, to honor it. Oh, to preach it. Oh, to analyze it. Oh, to spend my life obsessing in that book. And what will God Almighty do? I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll make your leaf will not wither. You'll bring forth fruit in your season. Need an amen. And whatever you do will prosper. Hallelujah. Meditate in that book. He said you will have good success. And He said God will bless. God will prosper. All you do in your life, make that book paramount. Plant that seed week after week and let God Almighty, my last sentence, let God Almighty do the rest. Hallelujah. A tribute to the Word of God. The little parable of the seed growing. He didn't even know how it grew. But all he got, a bumper harvest. Amen.